When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Skims or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and great marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. It's home of Shop Pay, the number one checkout in the world. You can use it to boost conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going through to checkout. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Allbirds uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/income.
Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today, I will analyze the case of Jennifer Sweeney and Tyrita Julius. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Jennifer Sweeney was born on August 18, 1983, and lived in Tinton Falls, New Jersey. This is 42 miles south of Newark. She worked as a utility company technician. Jennifer became active in a social club for motorcycle enthusiasts known as the Rough Riders. Through her participation there, she met a woman named Tyrita Julius. Tyrita was born on June 6, 1974, and lived in Linden, New Jersey, 32 miles north of Tinton Falls. She worked as an administrative assistant at a hospital and had two children, Dante and Chanel. Jennifer and Tyrita became romantically involved, although Tyrita did not share this information with her family members. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. In August 2015, while at a Rough Riders event, Tyrita Julius met a man named Hassan Nicely. The couple exchanged phone numbers, started talking, and eventually became romantically involved. Tyrita's lover, Jennifer Sweeney, was able to monitor her phone activity because they were on a shared cell phone plan. Jennifer was upset that Tyrita was dating someone else and repeatedly called Hassan while blocking her phone number. In mid-November 2015, Tyrita broke up with Jennifer and continued her romance with Hassan. During a Rough Riders event on November 21, 2015, a member of the club noticed that Jennifer was visibly angry when Tyrita and Hassan danced together. 3 days later, on November 24, at 7:16 p.m., Tyrita's 15-year-old daughter, Chanel, called 911. She provided her location to the operator and said, "We just got shot in the car." When the police arrived, they found that Chanel and her mother, Tyrita, had been shot while sitting in a motor vehicle. Chanel had been grazed on the mouth and wrist by a bullet, and Tyrita had been struck 8 times in the chest and abdomen. The police learned that the two women were getting ready to drive to a basketball game when a black man, who Chanel described as Chunky, approached the vehicle and started shooting. Despite being severely injured, Tyrita managed to drive away. She crashed into a nearby stop sign and telephone pole. This is when her daughter called 911. The perpetrator ran to a silver vehicle. He never tried to steal anything, like the vehicle. The purpose of the attack appeared to be homicide, not theft. His objective was to kill Tyrita. Video surveillance captured the shooter, but it was not clear enough to identify him. None of Tyrita's family members knew who would want to kill her. After she recovered enough to talk, the police interviewed her in the hospital. She told them that she did not suspect Jennifer. Considering that the shooter was a male and Jennifer was female, the police did not believe she was involved, but they interviewed her anyway. She told them that she and Tyrita had been together for almost 3 years. She admitted that they broke up just a few days before the shooting, but denied there was any type of fight. Jennifer claimed that on the night of the shooting, she and a friend were at the Woodbridge Mall at about 7 p.m. The attack on Tyrita went unsolved. She was released from the hospital after 39 days and continued with her life. Some people were worried that whoever tried to kill Tyrita would not give up. These fears resurfaced on March 8, 2016, when Tyrita Julius failed to respond to a text message from her mother. After this, two friends tried to call her cell phone, but the calls went to voicemail. Tyrita's mother reported her missing to the police. Investigators learned that Tyrita was with Jennifer on March 8, so they spoke to Jennifer. She told the police that she picked up Tyrita at 11:50 a.m. They went to the DMV in Eatontown before heading to Jennifer's house in Tinton Falls. They left there at 6:40 p.m., and Jennifer dropped Tyrita at the Long Branch train station at about 7 p.m. Jennifer drove to the house of a friend of hers named Donna. She then returned to the train station because she had a weird feeling and didn't want to drop Tyrita off to begin with. Later that evening, Jennifer met with another friend for dinner. Jennifer texted Tyrita that night and called her the following morning, but there was no response. She started to worry when Tyrita's son called her on March 9, saying that his mother never came home. The police checked out the story that Jennifer provided. They were unable to corroborate her account about dropping off Tyrita at the train station in Long Branch. Video surveillance showed that neither Jennifer nor Tyrita had been there that night. Investigators found it suspicious that it took Jennifer about an hour to get to her friend Donna's house, yet it was only a mile from the train station. The nature of the visit to Donna's house was also unusual. Jennifer had asked Donna if she could visit with her on the evening of March 8, explaining that she had just dropped off Tyrita at the Long Branch train station. Donna told Jennifer that she wasn't home, but her husband was in the house. Even though Jennifer had never visited the house without Donna being there, she stopped by at around 8:15 p.m. While there, Jennifer told Donna's husband about spending the day with Tyrita and how she left her at the Long Branch train station so that Tyrita could catch the 7:17 p.m. train to Linden. Jennifer did not drive Tyrita to Linden, which is what she normally would have done, because Tyrita felt bad about asking her to do this. On the next day, March 9, Jennifer drove around Long Branch with Donna. During the drive, she pointed to the house of a man named Andre Harris, who went to high school with both the women. Jennifer told Donna that she recently reconnected with Andre. She also mentioned how the police kept asking her questions about Tyrita's whereabouts. Jennifer was concerned that the members of the Rough Riders would blame her for the disappearance and retaliate. During the conversation, Jennifer asked Donna how long it would take to smell decomposing remains if Tyrita was dead, and wondered aloud why a person would bleed out of their ears if they had been hit in the head. The police found Jennifer's behavior to be suspicious and believed that she contacted Donna in order to establish an alibi. This is why she kept repeating that she had dropped off Tyrita at the train station. Even so, they did not have enough evidence to arrest Jennifer. For instance, there was no proof that Tyrita was dead. By the summer of 2016, Jennifer Sweeney was dating someone else. She continued to interact normally with her friends and coworkers and no longer appeared to be upset about Tyrita's mysterious disappearance. Jennifer had mentioned the name Andre Harris when speaking to Donna. The police learned that right before the shooting, on November 24, 2015, Jennifer had communicated with Andre many times. They realized that Andre matched the physical description of the shooter. On August 16, 2016, Andre was arrested on an outstanding traffic warrant. He denied being involved in the shooting of Tyrita or being involved in her disappearance. The police searched his house the same day and found Tyrita's body buried in the backyard with an extension cord wrapped around her neck. Her cause of death was homicidal violence, including strangulation. Even though discovering a body buried in a backyard is a common occurrence in New Jersey, the police were alarmed. They confronted Andre with this development, which led him to change his story. Here is what he said happened. Andre met Jennifer during high school. They lost touch but reconnected in the summer of 2015 and became romantically involved. At that time, Andre was in the middle of a contentious divorce. On November 23, 2015, Jennifer called him and told him that she was frustrated with Tyrita and had to get rid of her. She demanded that Andre help her or else she would tell his wife about the affair. Even though Andre was getting divorced, he was somehow worried about this. During the morning of the next day, November 24, he saw a note on the dashboard of his car pointing to the glove compartment. When he opened it, a 9mm pistol fell out. He called Jennifer, who told him to meet her at 6 p.m. in Linden, New Jersey. When he arrived, he pulled his car next to Jennifer's vehicle. In the passenger seat of her vehicle was a man holding a gun in his lap. Jennifer ordered Andre to shoot Tyrita. She gave him Tyrita's location and a description of her vehicle. Jennifer threatened to shoot him or his children if he did not carry out the attack. This threat frightened Andre, as did Jennifer's membership in the Rough Riders, which he incorrectly believed was a motorcycle gang. He maintained this belief despite the name sounding more like a dog walking service where every employee owns fingerless gloves. Andre gave in to Jennifer's demands and shot Tyrita. Jennifer was angry that Tyrita survived and stated that he didn't do his job. A few months later, on March 8, 2016, Andre found Jennifer standing at the back door of his house. She asked him if he had string to tie down the trunk of her car. He gave her an extension cord and went about his business. Later, Jennifer returned to the back door of his house and asked to speak with him. They walked out to the driveway where Andre saw Tyrita's dead body in the passenger seat of Jennifer's vehicle. Jennifer spoke to the body, saying, "If I can't have you, no one can." Andre buried Tyrita's body in his backyard. Jennifer told Andre, "No matter what, if anyone asks you, I took her to the train station." She claimed that she would retrieve the body later, but she never did. Ultimately, Andre Harris entered into a plea deal with the state of New Jersey. He pleaded guilty to attempted murder and a few other charges in exchange for 16 years in prison. He will first be eligible for parole in 2030 at the age of 46. Jennifer Sweeney was arrested and charged in connection with the 2015 shooting of Tyrita and the 2016 murder. In August 2021, Jennifer's trial started. On September 3 of that year, she was convicted of several offenses, including murder, conspiracy to commit murder, and attempted murder. On May 6, 2022, Jennifer was sentenced to 95 years in prison. Worse yet, the prison that will house her is in New Jersey. She will first be eligible for parole on May 14, 2097, at the age of 113. Now moving to my analysis. Jennifer Sweeney maintains her innocence. Her defense argued that Andre Harris worked alone. His story about being forced into criminal behavior was ridiculous. The state of New Jersey, of course, disagrees. They believe that Jennifer is the one who had the motive to kill Tyrita. The two had broken up, and Jennifer was angry about this. This brings me to the question, is Jennifer guilty of murder? Let's take a look at the evidence, both for and against the idea that she is guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. Jennifer and Tyrita had been in a romantic relationship. Jennifer was described as dependent, obsessive, controlling, and demanding. When Tyrita started dating Hassan, Jennifer was not happy. She researched Tyrita's phone activity and repeatedly called Hassan while blocking her number. On November 24, 2015, about 3 days after the women separated, Tyrita was almost killed in a shooting. The perpetrator of this attack was Jennifer's friend, Andre Harris, who claimed he carried out the attack because Jennifer threatened to kill him or his children. Investigators found that Jennifer researched the school that Andre's children attended, including directions and dismissal procedures, which is consistent with Andre's story. Cell phone data placed Jennifer and Andre near Tyrita's home at the time of the attack. They communicated several times that day, including 1 minute after Tyrita's daughter Chanel called 911. The alibi that Jennifer provided involved her being at the Woodbridge Mall at 7 p.m. with a friend. The problem is she did not text the friend about going to the mall until 7:27 p.m. Tyrita went missing on March 6, 2016, after having spent the day with Jennifer. Video surveillance did not capture the women being at the Long Branch train station, as Jennifer claimed. Again, Jennifer said that she dropped off Tyrita at that location. Jennifer's visit to Donna's house right after supposedly visiting the train station was out of the ordinary, and Jennifer made several suspicious statements. Jennifer used a prepaid cell phone to communicate with Andre and deleted record of their contacts from the phone afterward. They communicated several times during the morning of March 8. In the evening, when they communicated a few more times, Jennifer was near Andre's home in Long Branch, New Jersey. She was in that area at 7:02 p.m., not at the train station, where she said she was. Tyrita's body was later found buried in Andre's backyard, and Andre confessed to putting her there. He claimed that Jennifer murdered her. Moving to the exculpatory factors, Andre confessed to shooting Tyrita and to burying her body in his backyard. The extension cord used to kill the victim was owned by Andre. He could have acted alone. There was no need for anyone else to be involved. His story about being threatened by Jennifer is incredibly difficult to believe. The claim he made about finding the gun in his glove compartment sounded theatrical, like it came from a person trying to minimize his role in a serious crime. The story sounds like a deleted scene from a low-budget mafia movie filmed behind a strip mall. When considering all the evidence in this case, do I believe that Jennifer Sweeney is guilty? Yes, I believe she is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Andre probably lied about many elements of his story to make himself seem less guilty, but it's clear he was in a conspiracy with Jennifer. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Jennifer Sweeney was self-centered, impulsive, irresponsible, excitement-seeking, reckless, erratic, cold, callous, jealous, controlling, manipulative, deceptive, unsophisticated, had a sense of entitlement, and was exceedingly creepy. She became obsessed with Tyrita when they were together romantically. Later, when Tyrita rejected her, Jennifer managed to convince Andre to shoot her. Despite being shot 8 times, Tyrita survived. This gave Jennifer another chance to rebuild the romance, but she was unsuccessful. Tyrita rejected her again. As far as Jennifer was concerned, this was the last straw. She allowed her anger to dictate her choices. Jennifer strangled Tyrita with an extension cord and convinced Andre to bury the body in his backyard. Tyrita never believed that Jennifer was dangerous, which is how Jennifer was able to get so close to her. One of the many strange parts of this case is the involvement of Andre Harris, a man who seemingly had no motive whatsoever. Despite this, he involved himself not once, but twice in serious crimes against a woman he did not know, at the request of a woman to whom he was not particularly attached. Maybe the New Jersey Tourism Board could pick up on this trend and unveil a new slogan. New Jersey, visit for the shore, stay for the inexplicable availability of random accomplices. Those are my thoughts on the case of Jennifer Sweeney and Tyrita Julius. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon. Just a reminder, I have hundreds of pre-release videos on my Patreon account. These videos are of the same quality as the videos I release to the public. When I put a video in pre-release status, it usually stays that way for several months, if not a year. I will put the link to Patreon in the description for this video.